for us. This is the second in a series. We're in a series at the moment of just thinking about how we set ourselves up for this year, this academic year. Church, as we always kind of think, I think most people actually end up kind of thinking more September to September as a year rather than January to January. So kind of this academic year. What is God wanting to do with us as a gathering? What does he want to do with us as individuals? And Paul started the first 3 weeks of this series just reminding us of the vision. Who God, we believe, has called us to be as a community that worship in this place. And if you're not sure about that, you're new or you haven't seen it, there is some booklets at the back which just outline some of the sense of the vision that God has called us to. A church that connects, grows, and influences. Connects to God and connects with others to make family. A church that grows in who we are, who God has made us to be. When we get that, when we understand who we are, it changes everything. We can stand in those situations when we get who we are. And we're going to look a little bit about that today as well. And a church that brings influence, not power and authority to shift stuff and to change stuff for our benefit, but to bring influence that the kingdom of God might come in each and every situation you are in. Whether it's personal, whether it's in your household, whether it's in your street, whether it's in the place that you work, that the kingdom of God might come in that place. What would that look like? What would it look like for the kingdom of God to operate in the place that you spend your time? Something to think about, something to ponder, something to talk with others about. So have we got, can we put up the slide which says, therefore, go and make disciples, and that will get us started. Brilliant. There we go. So, as Natalie said, we are now into the series thinking about just a couple of ideas around what it is that God is wanting to do with us. And last week, I talked about our lives as a train. And again, for those that weren't here, I was talking a little bit about this on our final summer service when thinking about the story of Joseph. But if we imagine our lives as a train, there's lots of analogies we can use. I went for the train. And that each of us has a journey to travel. Each of us has a destination that we're heading towards. Ultimately, when we know Jesus, we're going to spend eternity with him. But there's a purpose for that train here on earth. And it may look different. For each one of us, it will look different. The way that God has made you and designed you and purposed you will make your train look different. But a train runs on a track. And I think the track that God has given us to travel, for every Christian to travel, can be simply summarized by two things. The greatest commandment and the greatest commission. The great commandment and the great commission. And we looked at the great commandment last week. A covenant relationship. It's a covenant relationship because God instigated it. Covenant is throughout the Bible. It's the idea of the one entering into a relationship with another. We see it in varied ways throughout the Old Testament. It often in the Old Testament involves blood. Animals being cut in two. But one instigates a relationship with the other. And so God instigates, God the Father instigates a relationship with each one of us, a covenant relationship. And so when Jesus is asked, what's the greatest commandment? What's the greatest? We know you've given us all this stuff. What's the greatest? Jesus says, love God. Love God. Love him with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Everything that you are, everything that you have, all that you carry, love God with it. And it reminds us that it's a covenant. So Father God instigated it. So it's not a commandment in the sense of you must, you shall. It's a command in the sense of because of what I've done for you, come and love me. Because of all that I've done for you individually, come and respond by loving me with everything that you have. And so today, we're going to think about the second track. Again, it's a response to, but it's the Great Commission. Jesus went to the cross. He fulfilled all that he had purposed to do, that the Father had purposed Jesus to do, because he said on the cross, it's finished. The job's done. The covenant has been made. So then he comes back. And so often we kind of jump over this. We kind of do Christmas and we do Easter. Jesus died, he came, was born, he came to earth. And then our creeds and the things that we remember jump us straight to his death and all that he did on the cross. And we forget the bits between. That he was, they reckon, probably about 33 when he died on the cross. And our scriptures and our gospel tells us of the 3 years prior to his death, in which he lived out his purpose. A purpose that he passes on to each one of us. Not a purpose that's just for the few, and we're going to look at that in a minute, but the purpose for each and every one of us individually. So we're going to look at kingdom purpose. What is our kingdom purpose as a church, but as individuals, as part of this gathering and part of this community that meets in this place? So there's just a quick reminder. We talked about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and particularly focused on the soul last week. We talked about the fact that that we worship God with our soul, and it's a place where we need to be quiet and still. One of the most difficult things to do in loving God with our soul is that we rush and hurry too much. We also try and do it by ourselves. And the soul is the place that connects us with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the community of God. And so we can only love God in community, connected with one another. Hence our key word, connect, grow, influence. We've got to be connected to each other. That's the place in which we love with our soul. And a few people afterwards and since have said, well, how can I talked about the fact that I'm not an expert on the soul. I've got one. We've all got one. But how can I find out more? And I just wanted to recommend 2 books. One that I have read and one that I'm just starting to read. So the first book is a book called Soul Keeping. It's by a guy called John Ortberg. It's brilliant. It helps you to think about what the soul is and just how we look after our soul. It also comes with a daily guide and some online talks that you can look at. My small group is looking at it at the moment, working our way through it over 6 weeks. And it just gets you to think a little about how we love God with our soul. It's done in with conjunction. John Ortberg was mentored by Dallas Willard. And so it's kind of John Ortberg, who I think is relatively easy to read, which is good for me, helping to digest and think through some of Dallas Willard's stuff, which is really hard to read and can take you a long time. So you get the best of both worlds. So I'd recommend that one. The second one, as I said, I'm just starting to read, is called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. Again, talking about the same stuff. It seems to be propping up all over the place. There was a guy talking last year at New Wine, for those that went to New Wine, called John Mark Comer. I think he's talking about the same stuff. How we look after our souls. How we find space, silence, solitude in the busyness of life to tend to loving God with our souls. So that was John Mark Comer. Again, the talks are on New Wine. He's all over the internet. And as I say, with all of these things, I recommend them to you, but do them in community. Read them. Ask questions. Don't just kind of take it all and kind of go, brilliant, this is fantastic. Ask the questions. What does this mean for me? How do I live this out in my lives? Talk to those around you, working this out. But 2 books. I'll leave them on the front here if you want to come and have another look to later on to see what they're about. But they're 2 books that I would recommend. Great. So, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So today we're going to look at kingdom purpose. Jesus finished his time on earth by saying, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This was his mission for us, a commission, working with him in his mission to make disciples. Make disciples of all nations, of every people group. Go and make. Go and be involved with. And the Message translation puts it like this. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, the way that we live out this kingdom purpose, the way we live out our covenant relationship. Teach others to do the same, marking them by baptizing them in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go out and train people. That's what discipleship means. That's what it looks like, training people in the way of following Jesus. So what's our kingdom purpose? It's to make disciples. Make people, help people, direct people. You know, all those questions that we have. So often when I was in the workplace, in schools, people would be like, how do I do life? I'm too busy. I'm too stressed. How do I do this stuff? How do I parent my children? How do I do marriage? How do I do life? Hopefully, the good news is we have an answer to those questions. And it may be something that we're wrestling through. It may be something that we're still trying to figure out for ourselves. But we know someone who has got the answers. He's called Jesus. He knew how to do life. He knew how to prioritize the right things in the right way. And so his mission for us is to be people who help others do that. And so we're going to look just briefly at a reading from Mark, Making Disciples. And Chris, thank you for reading for us. I looked at Mark, but we're going to jump into the same passage as well in Luke as well. But in Mark, it talks about how Jesus made disciples. Paul talked right at the beginning of this series about Jesus' invitation to each one of us to come and follow him. That's the invitation. It's the invitation to each and everyone. Come and follow him. That's what it means to be a Christian. Someone who follows Jesus. Christian, the little Christ. Someone who is following Jesus. His invitation to each of us. To work out what the kingdom looks like for you as the way that God's made you in the place that he's put you. What does it look like? Come, follow him. And so then he showed us how to do that. How do we help others do that? How did he help others to do that? And we see that at the end of that process, well, not even at the end, during that process, Jesus, as we heard in our reading today, sent out the 12. You see, he gathered a group of people. He gathered a group of people around him, and he began to help them to understand this new kingdom. He began to teach them. For the readers at that time, their understanding, the rabbi understanding, that someone brings along others around them and begins to help them to understand the kingdom way. It's not a classroom environment. It's not a lecture. It's not a sermon. He lives lives with them. They spend time together. They spend time learning, asking questions, figuring it out. The disciples make a lot of mistakes. They make a lot of mistakes. And he teaches them. And he goes, look at this. How do we do this? How do you do this? That's his invitation to us. But his invitation is not just for me as an individual to talk with Jesus, but it's to be with others, working this out together, what it looks like for my context. And he sends these disciples out. And it says, which is key, that he sends them out in twos. So Jesus sends out his disciples. He sends them out in community. He doesn't send them out by themselves. He sends them out with somebody else to go and do exactly the same as what they have been doing with Jesus. To learn the same stuff, to teach the same stuff, to demonstrate the same things. And so there's our disciples. Bunch of people who actually, for rabbis, the rabbis look for the best, and these guys didn't make it. They weren't really good enough to be disciples in the sense of a rabbi. But Jesus saw who they were, saw what their potential was, and said, I can use you. Perhaps that's for us as well. He can use you. He can work his kingdom purposes through you. So he sends them out in little teams, in twos, to go and share the same things, to teach and train people in the same way. He says, go to villages and to towns. See who is open to where God is at work. who is interested in what you have to say. Bring nothing with you. Don't go fully prepared with everything that you've got, but go empty-handed and ask God how he wants to use you. And if we look at the same passage in Luke, we see that he sends out the 12. He sends it out in Luke 9, referencing the same passage. He sends the 12 out in Luke 9. And just one chapter later, because some people kind of think, well, this is just for the experts. It's just for the special people. It's just for the people who've got kind of a special, you know, Jesus picked 12, spent time with them. They must have been special. But one chapter later in chapter 12, he says exactly the same to 72 people. So not the 12, but the 72. And being a bit of a maths geek, because I'm a maths teacher, I'm actually not very good at maths, so don't ask me to do any maths. But anyway, if you send out six groups of twos, and they do exactly the same as Jesus, each one will come back and will have become a 12. If two have gone out and they do the same thing, they get some people around them. So if each one does that, then you get the 72. Six groups going out, making 12, you get 72. And I'm not saying that it was as neat and tidy and all that kind of thing, but there's something about the symmetry of that that says that the disciples did exactly what Jesus did, lived the way that he lived, and people were drawn in. People learned and found out about this way that was called the kingdom of God. Their lives were transformed. There's something about that for us. That in the places that we are, what does it look like? Who has God given us? What does it look like to be a person who follows Jesus into that place? Because he's already there. He already wants to see his kingdom come in the place that he's put you. So who's he giving you? What does it look like to go with those people? What does it look like to share your life with them? So, making disciples. How did Jesus did it? As was said, next week we're going to launch Tear Fund as a partner, and that we're really excited about this partnership, because actually I think not only have we got something to give to them, but more importantly, I think they've got something to show us. The work that we're going to hear about, the thing that they're involved in, is doing exactly this in Uganda. It's people going out, not with stuff to give to those communities, but to get alongside people and say, what does it look like for the kingdom of God to come in your village? And let's equip you and help you to do that. Something that we can learn of how we're going to see a city transformed. But then after that, when we've got next week, then we're going to, as a morning congregation and a gathering, we're going to look at the book of Mark, or bits of the book of Mark. And again, we're going to be looking at, where do we see Jesus? What's he doing? How does he operate? And I just want to encourage you, as we do that, and as we read through the whole of Mark, be asking the question, how is he showing us how to love God? And how is he showing us how to be people who follow him, making disciples? How does he do it? What does he do? He's the expert, because he did it first. He knows how to do this stuff. So let's learn from Jesus about how we help people make disciples and how we help people become people who follow Jesus. And it gets messy. It doesn't mean that kind of day one we're going to go in and they're going to go, you need to follow Jesus. Great. What do I do? You need to pray this prayer. Be at church next Sunday. It's not going to look like that. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take conversation. It's going to take prayer. But we are all equipped, because that's the mission that God's given us. We're all equipped to do this. So, Jesus, what did he bring that helps us in this? And we're coming back to the passage in Matthew, the Great Commission. To get to that point, he had spent time with the disciples. They'd shared life together. They'd been together. How do we spend time with others, learning how to follow Jesus? How do we make space in our times, in our weeks? Catherine Hill has just written a book about how to raise children. In there, she talks about how many hours a child, even if they came to church every Sunday and a Sunday school every week, how many hours they would need to spend in church to be able to be people who follow Jesus. And the whole point is that you can't just do it in church. We've got to do this all of life. It's ridiculous. It's not possible. It's hundreds of years that it would take if we added up all the hours and actually what how long it takes to become someone who follows Jesus. But so often that's what we think. We think if we can just get them into Sunday school, it'll all be good and fine. But it's the same for each and every one of us. Unless we're doing this all of the time with others, we'll never get it. We'll never learn. So he spent time with them, and he wants to spend time with us as we gather together. He gave them authority. Because it says, therefore, go and make disciples. And as I've heard a number of times here, people say, therefore, why? We ask, why is it that, what's it there for? Because of what happens and what is said before that. It says in Matthew 28, they worshipped him, but some doubted. So still, they didn't quite get it, but God can still use them. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, to Jesus, on the cross. All of the authority that you need, all of the ability to unlock the kingdom in every situation has been given to Jesus. Therefore, go. I'm giving you that authority. I'm giving you the ability to go and do this in the same way that I did it. So he gives them authority to do it. He gives each one of you authority to be people who bring the kingdom in the place that he's put you. And I'm not talking, again, I'm not talking about standing on a stage with hundreds and thousands of people preaching the gospel. I'm talking about one person in one place, just asking God, how can I help this person see you? How can I help this person get to know you better? What have you given me that helps them to do that? And we do it in so many different ways in church already. Highlighting one, mum's groups. Just getting alongside people, asking the questions, spending time looking at scripture, but working out what that looks like for life. Some of those people there know Jesus, but others don't yet. But it's that place of just learning how to do that. And there are many others that do it in other different ways. But he's given us authority to do it. Not to lord it over people, but to come alongside and say, you need Jesus. Parenting 101, marriage 101, you need Jesus. We can't do it. However good the course, however good the stuff that we look at, ultimately we need Jesus, because at some point it's going to get to the place where we just go, I can't do this anymore. And that's when we need Jesus. And so it's great that we do all these courses, but we keep pointing people and we build a relationship and we tell them about Jesus in the midst of it all, because he's given us authority to do that. And he releases them to go. He says, go and make disciples. Don't wait for them to come to you. We can do that, and people do. We've got visitors today. It's brilliant. But he says to them, go. Go back to the places that he's already put you. Go back to the places where he's already planted you. Ask God who he's given you already in those places to pray with. What's the community that he's already put you as part of? How can they support you? If you're not in a community, let us help you find one. People keep saying to me, can you help me find a small group? And I say, yes, I'd love to. Haven't got any for you to join yet. You might need to start your own. That's okay. That's kind of where we're at the moment. We've got some great small groups and people want to join, but if we all wanted to be in a small group, which that's why we say small groups are the heartbeat of the church, because that's the place that we learn to love God and that's the place that we learn our kingdom purpose. We haven't got enough small groups. So some of you are going to have to lead some small groups, are going to start leading some small groups, are going to start getting a vision for what God wants you to do and to reach into and to connect with as a kingdom purpose, and a small group will start. So those three things, he spent time with them. We need to spend time with each other. He gives them authority. He's given that to us as disciples and followers of Jesus. He releases them to go into the places that he's already put them. And so at the heart of all this, which is really coming into land on what we've been looking at for these last 2 weeks, to love God with all that we are, heart, soul, mind, and strength, to be a person who lives kingdom purpose. It's all about community. Not community, this is too many. Community. Smaller groups that connect, that work out what it looks like to become people who follow and grow with Jesus. And working out where he's put us to give an influence of his kingdom into that place. To be salt and light in the places he's already put you. So it's why we're beginning to talk. And for some of you, you're already in a community. For others, you just think, I don't quite know how I've got time for that. But this thing only works. We only grow, we only learn by connecting into community and being vulnerable and real with each other so that he can work out his purposes in us. So we've got those three words as a church: connect, grow, influence, which at the heart of them is these two dynamics, covenant relationship and kingdom purpose. But the whole thing is embodied in community, which is why we'd call ourselves a gathering. It's a gathering of communities. It's the gathering of people who come to worship God from the rest of life, so that we hear stories like Cameron shared of how God works out his purposes in those places and we see change and transformation. I went to church for 17 years and went to university 18 years. And then I went to university and finally got involved in a small group. And I learned so much. My small group was focused. It was where I met Natalie as well, so it was very beneficial. But it's where I learned. I learned to pray. Natalie can tell you the story the first time I prayed out loud, because I'd never done that before, because I had no idea. I knew all the liturgy, I knew all the words, but I didn't know how to pray out loud and pray into situations. Natalie was there when I first did that. It was because I was in a community that encouraged me to do it. It was the first place I started to learn, or to understand, actually. I realized I could hear God, but they give me words and understanding for the thing that I already knew I could, or we could do. It was in that community that I learned how to do that. I am the person I am today because of the communities that I've been part of. And if you met me then and met me now, you'd realize how much God has done in my life. No way I'd have stood up here, for starters. Even though I would have loved to. Kind of internally, I'd have loved to, but I wouldn't have been able to do it. But God has changed me and transformed me to be the person I am today. And that's what he wants to do with each of us. And we do it on the road as we go about doing his kingdom purposes. Let's pray.